difficult decisions in healthcare. Dr. Gregory Eastwood from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities. Welcome back, Dr. Eastwood.
It's great to be back.
We're always, always, always happy to have you here. And I think we found a topic that will really get people talking this morning. This is something that touches every one of us one way or another. It touches our health, or it touches someone we love, or it puts a dent in our wallets. We even had some trouble coming up with a title that wouldn't put our listeners off, didn't we?
We're going to call this session Paying for Other People's Bad Health Choices. Of course, it's not always other people. It's our own bad health choices sometimes, too.
Absolutely true. And actually, as we thought about this, we thought, oh, we could call it all kinds of things, and we could call those of us who make these choices all kinds of things. But we think we came up with a pretty politically correct title for the conversation this morning. And exactly what is a big framework for the discussion? Can you give us kind of a general framework before we get it started?
Some of the bad health choices we make sometimes are smoking, eating too much and creating overweight, abuse of alcohol, abuse of other drugs, sometimes even a decision not to buy health insurance when we can afford it, not wearing seat belts, not putting our kids into car seats, not wearing helmets when we ride bicycles and so on. Texting or phoning while we're driving, these kinds of things. These are bad health choices.
They are bad health choices, and I'm not sure that all of us think of them in the framework of health, perhaps safety, but these are also bad money choices in some cases, aren't they?
We pay for them. We collectively and we individually pay for them out of our pockets with money. We also pay for them out of other currency, love, affection, the kinds of things that these behaviors do to us and to the people we care about.
They do. And they also affect our health in many difficult ways. Some people would say, well, you drink alcohol, that makes you happy. Maybe that's a positive way, but maybe not so much.
Yeah. Alcohol is clearly what we call in medicine a biphasic response.
Oh, my gosh.
Biphasic means two phases, two reactions. And the first phase, of course, is generally deemed as good. And the second phase is not so good. It's sometimes alcohol stimulates, and then very quickly it subdues or depresses. And that's the acute effects, and sometimes the chronic effects are the same thing. And it's certainly depressed chronically.
And sometimes we're making choices that we're not even realizing that they could be bad choices. I mean, I'll give the example of one of the things we've learned is that the FDA is now requiring children's cold medicines to be very different than they used to be. We think as parents we're giving our children medicine that could be a good thing, but sometimes those choices aren't good even though we think they are.
Yeah, I think of another example, now that you bring the cold medicine up, the role of butter in our health.
Ah.
It was for some time, you know, that butter was bad and margarine was good, and then some studies came out to show that they're roughly equivalent, and now not too many people pay much attention to whether butter or margarine is good.
That's the truth, because over time, medical research shows us that maybe some of the assumptions we'd made weren't true.
Yeah, that's true.
It is. It's very interesting. Let's talk about some of the costs of these kinds of behaviors. And I want to touch on the big picture again of costs, because we want to talk about not just whether or not these are bad choices, but how they affect us as individuals, as our families, as society. And then that bigger picture of should all of us be paying for other people's choices? Sure. Because especially during the healthcare reform conversations, some of these topics came up. And we have some things to look at in the future that may or may not be, let's say, palatable to those of us who are involved in some of these activities.
Well, the big picture about costs is, you know, what do these behaviors do to us? And how does that translate to bad health and therefore to increased health costs? For example, smoking has been unequivocally linked to cancer of the lung. We know that historically in the Surgeon General, various Surgeon General reports in the 60s and 70s.
And we have research that shows that.
Absolutely.
It's not just somebody's observation, it's research.
Over and over again. And of course, it's not just cancer of the lung, it's cancer of the mouth, the larynx, the esophagus, the pancreas, the womb, the cervix, the bladder, also coronary artery disease, other kinds of artery disease, lung disease like asthma and emphysema, premature aging of the skin, which is a concern of some people.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing, which isn't a disease, but it also affects hospitals, that is fires in hospital beds, people smoking in bed.
Or probably even in their own homes.
That's
right. Sure.
Now, in upstate, we prohibit smoking.
There you go. But, you know, if you think about it, I believe on my homeowner's insurance, they ask me if we're smokers in the home.
Is that right?
So I'm guessing that maybe our homeowner's insurance is more expensive if we are smokers.
It probably is.
It could be.
So it's been estimated that these kinds of bad effects of smoking and then some of the negative consequences of being overweight, pretty much the same list, not quite the same list, could account for maybe nearly half of all health problems that we have in the United States and therefore the costs associated with them.
You know, on the one hand, I think half sounds like a lot. And then if I think about it for a minute, half doesn't sound like nearly enough. You know, if you think about, say, the emergencies in an emergency room, how often are emergencies a result of an accident or something that might have been prevented because it was a safety question?
Sure.
So I'm wondering if maybe the costs, if somebody actually did a study of bad behaviors and the result, it might not even be more than that.
Well, studies have been done, and you get to the point of the issue in some of these studies. Do you attribute a car wreck to alcohol, you attribute to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's difficult to sort out some of these studies. But I think a conservative estimate would be about half. And anyway, it's a large amount. And if we could do something about reducing smoking, reducing overweight, and so on, then we would make a big dent in this. Now, another argument, though, is if you prevent coronary artery disease or prevent cancer, doesn't that mean that you're just prolonging the inevitable? And of course, we never get out of this life alive, and we all succumb to one thing or another. But there is a big, what we call in medicine, a morbidity. That means the negative effects of whatever illness we're talking about. Disability, not able to work, not able to lead a full life. And that all counts negatively in terms of the cost of health care.
So let me make sure I understand what you're saying. It's not just that somebody has coronary artery disease. Yeah. It's the ripple effect of coronary artery disease. So it not only affects their ability, say, to have a job and go to work every day, but perhaps the caregiver's ability to do that as well. Perhaps also their ability to get out and get to go shopping, for instance, and spend their money. I mean, there's this whole ripple effect of the negative, not just on that person, but the people around them in society too.
Yes, and this gets exactly the point of our conversation today. How does this affect, how do we pay for other people's bad health choices? We as spouses, we as family members, we as members of society. And I expect that all of our listeners have had some experience.
Yes, they have. And you know what? That's a great place to take a quick break. We're going to go to a commercial, but we will be back in just a few moments. We'll pick up our conversation where we left off. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.